Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Welcome, Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here once again. And each time we speak, you've done something new. And it's really quite exciting, and probably for you as well, to kind of reinvent yourself. You've been a soloist for so many, many years. Tell us a little bit about your very, very newest venture.
Well, the very newest venture is that I'm now a music director. And, I guess when I look back, it is a form of reinventing oneself. And sometimes I think it's just phenomenal how my life takes turns and goes this way and that way. And other times I think, what are you doing? Because I'm so busy all the time. But it's really almost an affair of the heart, these feelings I have for my new orchestra, the New Century Chamber Orchestra. And I just feel that this is a spectacular group that needs to be recognized and appreciated and respected. And I just completed my first season with them as music director, and we are off to a grand start. So we have our first album out called Together, and
it is wonderful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It is beautiful. It is exquisitely played, and there is that sense of joy that you're all playing together. Have you ever been a concert master in your life?
That's a good question. The last time I was a concert master, I was in elementary school in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
And we played a piece called TikTok. That was it.
This is a far cry from that.
Yes.
Well, what is it? Well, you do say something in your liner notes about this whole other feeling of being responsible, mm-hmm. as being, you know, in that chair. But also, when you say you're a music director, do you conduct as well?
We are a conductorless ensemble.
Okay.
Everything is done in the rehearsals. Everything is decided. Everyone is very vocal. It's very democratic, too democratic sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're talking about phenomenal musicians who have been doing this for a long time. This is 17 years old. This one.
Now, but they've always played without a conductor, isn't
correct.
That right?
Correct. When I speak of the responsibility, what I mean is that I come from a world of solo playing.
Right.
And as a soloist, you are... not so much trained, but through experience throughout the years, and I've been doing this for a long time. The point of view is to stand out, is to be different, is to be unique.
Yes.
And sitting in a concertmaster chair, being a part of an ensemble, you must blend. So for me, it is that is a challenge. Even the way that I regard, say, a dotted eighth is very different as an orchestral musician as it is as a soloist. And I must set that example sitting in that chair. Having said that, I still have to lead everything. So there comes the soloist's attitude and the leader's attitude. So it's a good fit for me. I just never knew I could do it.
Well, I think in the old days, wasn't the concertmaster called leader? I mean, I'm talking about hundreds of years ago.
I think so. I think it still is in a sense. You know, it's someone who leads the orchestra into sort of submission to the mm-hmm. to the conductor, but mostly the concertmaster leads the first violin section.
Right, right.
And there is a conductor there. And you know, I have to say that the type of musician that the response of a musician that works in a situation where there's no conductor is just phenomenal. It's spectacular. It's a very, very different orchestral musician than one who isn't.
Oh, I'm sure it's much more like playing with a string quartet, say.
Exactly. And the response time is nothing. It has to be. The way that they listen mm-hmm. is very, very different. So, you know, it's a little bit insulting to conductors, to be perfectly honest with you,
well,
because there isn't anything that we cannot play. There isn't anything that's too difficult or too complex. And if you see musicians performing at this high level without someone standing up there, then it makes you just wonder how important that person is.
Well, you're speaking to an instrumentalist who's played with conductors for many years, and I certainly can understand what you're saying. But what I was going to say was also, I think I had heard that, well, I think it was Pinchas Zukerman, I think I was talking to, who said the reason you need a conductor is when the group gets so large that you really can't manage it, you really need somebody up there.
Right.
And I guess his attitude was also the same, similar to yours, of course, being a string player. But how many people are in the actual ensemble?
19.
So it's workable. I mean, this is really kind
of... absolutely. And he's absolutely right. I mean, it becomes a matter of logistics. You can't see the concertmaster if you're in the trumpet section.
Right, exactly. You know? We listen now to a world premiere recording, the first of this new ensemble, the New Century Chamber Orchestra, with leader Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg. This is a work entitled Impressions, Suite for Chamber Orchestra by Clarice Assad. We've just heard Clarice Assad's Impressions, Suite for Chamber Orchestra, performed by the New Century Chamber Orchestra with Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg leader. This is a premiere recording and also a premiere of their first album entitled Together. Is there a string culture? I mean, it's really unique. String players are unique. I guess each instrumentalist is unique in his own group, but especially in strings.
I think so. We have certain, we have the same goals. I mean, the most important goals for us are intonation and sound. And that's, you know, that's part of our very, very basic training, whereas pianists would not worry about intonation, you know. And brass players have their own culture of embouchure and lips. And So, yes, there is a culture. And we do, you know, that's just a given. It's just natural. It's there for all of us.
Now, does that limit your repertoire, just strings?
Yes, string orchestra repertoire is limited. And I'm doing everything I can to change that. One of the things that I learned was that I can't play all the pieces that I want to play. I mean, it's just, you know, mostly this is an orchestra that did a lot of string quartets, and just did the larger version of them. And, of course, there are some, I would say there are about 10, 12 standard pieces that are phenomenal and very popular, written for strings. Mm-hmm. Tchaikovsky Serenade, Souvenir de France, Dvorak Serenade, these kinds of things. But, like I said, not that much. So in order to put together a very vibrant season as far as programming, I have been getting people to arrange for us. For example, we are starting our new season in September with a brand new and phenomenal arrangement of Pictures at an Exhibition.
Well, you answered my next question. I was going to say, who arranges the works for the orchestra? And that's going to be very interesting.
Well, I am a big fan of Clarice Assad, who has been writing for me a violin concerto, which I recorded, which I loved, who was our featured composer this past season. And that one of the works on the album is her piece called Impressions.
It's very beautiful, by the way.
It is, and it is so specifically written for us. And
that must be a pleasure.
It's like the difference between somebody buying you a gift and someone making you a gift.
Ah, yes.
You know, and it is. She heard us play, and she saw the chemistry between me and this orchestra. And
is she related to the Assad brothers?
Yes, she is. That's how I met her.
Yes, because
I'm working with the Assads for many, many years.
Many years, yes.
Sergio Assad's oldest daughter.
I see.
And just a spectacularly talented musician, fantastic composer, amazing arranger, an incredible jazz singer, pianist.
Really?
Yeah, she's really, she's the real thing. So I because I have a close association with the whole family, I'm kind of using and abusing her. So I asked her to, if it would be musically interesting for her to make an arrangement, not a transcription, an arrangement of Pictures at an Exhibition. And so this arrangement is for the string orchestra, and added onto that is one pianist and one percussionist. They are very busy.
Yes, and actually, well, it was originally written for piano.
Originally, but you know there are over 35 arrangements.
I was going to say, well, the ones we know are Ravel and Ashkenazi did one, I know. Vladimir Ashkenazi
did one.
Right,
and of course the famous and phenomenal Ravel,
yeah,
which everyone has in their head. So for the arranger, it is quite a challenge to make a new version of this and not to disappoint, because we all have certain instruments in our head. We have that tuba solo playing this, and how can she do it for this instrumentation? And it's just, I'm studying the score right now. It's just incredible. It's an incredible job.
I'm waiting for the Great Gate of Kiev.
Exactly. Well, exactly. What do you do with the Great Gate of Kiev?
What do you do with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll
interesting. Well, now you said jazz, and I'm not going to let you get away without mentioning something. You think you might approach her to do something that the orchestra may work at?
You know, maybe, but she was our featured composer last season. This season, the featured composer is William Bolcom, who has already written. What the featured composer program for my orchestra is that we play existing works of that composer, and then that composer writes a work specifically for us. So we'll be doing his Serenata Notturna, which he wrote for, oh, my God, his name escapes me now. Dick Woodhams.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we'll be doing that. And we're doing his rags, which are fantastic.
Wonderful, yes.
In our second concert. In the last concert of the season, we're playing the commission piece, which is a concerto he wrote for me. And next year, we might be going with Mark O'Connor, who will then write something very different. So as far as getting Clarice to write something for us, possibly later on. She wrote two spectacular pieces for us last year. One of them we recorded, and also wrote a medley of Christmas carols from all over the world for string orchestra, some winds, and choir. And you asked earlier if I'd conduct, and in that performance, I actually moved my arms around and conducted, because the stage was full of people. I had to do it.
Well, you just fake it, I guess, really. You're so talented and very, very enthusiastic. You're Jacob. George Gershwin from Porgy and Bess, Bess, You Is My Woman Now. A very famous arrangement for violin was done by Yasha Heifetz. This is a transcription of that arrangement by Remellis and a performance by the New Century Chamber Orchestra. Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg is leader and also soloist. Now, how did it come about? Did someone approach you to do this?
A fellow violinist called, I don't remember when, a couple years ago, just called out of the blue, said, I'm a friend of a friend. Have you ever heard of New Century Chamber Orchestra? And I said, no. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about the group. She's a member of the group. In fact, she's my associate concertmaster. And she started telling me about the group and its existence and its history and blah, blah, blah. And would I be interested in coming, just coming and doing a gig, as we call it.
Sure.
In my business, just coming and doing a gig. And I thought, you know, I'm a soloist. I've never sat in a concertmaster chair. Part of it was, no, thank you. And the other part was very, very intriguing to me. Like, what would that be like? So I picked a program, and I went and did it. And I practiced so much for it because I knew that these were great musicians. I had heard a recording of them. And here comes this big soloist. And, you know, I didn't want them to think that very simply, that I couldn't do this job. Right. So I really, really, and I found myself working so hard in the preparation as far as the score is concerned, which is something, you know, you don't really have to do as a soloist.
Right.
And I did it earlier in my life. You know, every concerto that I learned, my teacher taught me, learn the score.
Sure.
But this was, I felt a great responsibility. And when I sat down to play with them for the first rehearsal, it was within a few measures, it was very, very clear that this was a great chemistry. And so what ensued after that was, you know, the politics and the business of it in order to get me to be their new music director. And that's how it came to be. It came from one phone call a while ago.
Now, you think this experience, everything you do impacts on what you play, but I would imagine that this really has an impact on your interpretation of your repertoire as a soloist.
You know, what's funny is that it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, it's I think back at all the musical experiences I've had with so many different people. I remember when I first started working with the Assad Brothers, this was the ultimate in chamber music. I didn't think it would be at the time, but the way that I listened, playing with them taught me how to listen far more in detail than ever before. I had to, in order to hear what they were doing and to hear the complexity of what Sergio had written. With this, it doesn't impact my solo playing, because that's the challenge in that it is something completely different. I literally become a different person when I study repertoire for New Century than I do when I'm studying repertoire for solo playing. It's two very different things, and I'm proud that I can do it. But my experience with New Century, when I walk on stage to play Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, is not there. I don't tap into that.
Okay.
At all. I can't.
I would think so, because, and then I would, and vice versa, I guess,
exactly.
Because you cannot stand out, really.
Exactly. Except that I do lead. So for me, it's like all 19 of them have hoses, if you will, in my body that they just sap from me. I mean, it's.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And so I have to lead, and I cannot relax at all, not for one measure.
Which is what happens when you're when you're in charge.
It's killing me.
Now. Music of Astor Piazzolla, performed by the New Century Chamber Orchestra with Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg as leader and soloist. We heard from The Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, Spring, Primavera Porteña. This is from the premiere album of the ensemble, Together. So what happens to your touring and your solo performances with all of this now? This
absolutely
is a tremendous...
Absolutely nothing changes. That's why it's a very difficult time for me, in that time management and energy mm-hmm. have to be preserved. Nothing changes. I am playing, in fact, more solo concerts this season than I have in the last few seasons. It's just a lot of extra time and no free time.
Yes. Now, you also started, I think this is already, the second or third year, or maybe more, that the NSS label.
The NSS music label started in 2005.
Yes, so it's about almost 3.5 years. And you had sent me, actually, a wonderful recording of you and Anne-Marie McDermott, who is a very, very fine artist, live at Lincoln Center. And then also you did something with Marin Alsop, conducting the Colorado. And those were released on your label.
Right. Well, Together is our eighth release.
Yes.
So those were my first two. Mm-hmm. The live recital with Anne-Marie, and then Tchaikovsky and Assad Concerto, that's Clarice Assad's violin concerto, were the first two. Then I started to release other people's recordings, which I'm very proud of. The label doesn't really have, if there's any modus operandi for the label, it started as being mostly live.
Yes, was there, what made you start it?
I got fed up. I mean, very simply, I got fed up with where the recording business was going and how the artists were having to cope with that and having no control, which is the thing that really bothered me. I mean, of course, if you get to a point when you step back and look at the whole business of music and where it's been and where it is and where it's going, it's nobody's fault. It's what happens. It's a natural evolution of things, and you either gain or you suffer from changes like that. However, if there's something you can do, then I'm certainly one that will do it. And I noticed that quite a few of my colleagues were starting to do their own kind of vanity labels sort of thing, and I thought in the back of my head, perhaps this is something I should think about. And again, you get discouraged because, that's for one thing, I can't do that. I'm the other side of that. I'm not the business. I'm the artist.
Of course.
And you do not realize how much information you actually absorb throughout your career. I know everything there is to know about the business.
Both sides, I guess.
And also because, again, here comes the time management. I don't have time to do that. That's crazy. But, you know, there's always that last straw. And for me, it was a compilation album that EMI had released. I made so many records for EMI.
Mm-hmm.
that it wasn't so much that they actually released it and it was embarrassing to be a part of that compilation, but that I wasn't even notified. I mean, they have the right to do that. They have the right to make compilations, and they don't even need your permission. But
really? You can, they can do it without your consent?
It was just a lack of respect to the artist that not even notifying you that we're going to do this. So there I am in Tower. God, rest in peace.
Yes.
I am in Tower, and then I see this two compilation albums that were just embarrassing to be on, but not even knowing about it. And I think, for me, emotionally, that was the last
time that
I'm going to try this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very successful. And how does that impact, like, with the Internet and all that? You know, it's really terribly important now.
And every single time a classical music outlet closes, Tower is gone.
Yes.
Virgin is pretty much gone. We have now can buy albums in Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
And even Barnes & Noble here in New York City at Lincoln Center, the classical section is so small. It's just so pathetic. So little by little, these stores that one walks into physically to look at albums and browse are going away for classical musicians.
Well, it's another world now.
It is another world. So, yes, the Internet is huge.
So you'll probably work with that idea. I'm pretty sure you will. And, of course,
absolutely,
the audience becomes huge then.
Absolutely.
And it is, we're beyond the space age now, I think, certainly. And with music publishing and recording, it's a whole different ball game. But your talent will out. And it's such a pleasure, Nadia, to speak to you again and to find that you're really terribly successful in this new endeavor. And, we look forward to seeing you perhaps, tour with the orchestra, or
bring it to
Philadelphia.
We're putting together a tour for not this coming season, the following season. So, oh yes, I can't wait to show them off. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations. The new album is great, and thank you so much for being with
us
today.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.